Welcome to Lending Forward, a podcast where we're lending every bit of what we know to our listeners. From real conversations and lessons learned deep within the industry to education and forward thinking. Together, we're Lending Forward. And as always, don't forget to subscribe to our channels and connect with us on www.atlanticbay.com. Atlantic Bay Mortgage Group, LLC, NMLS number 72043, NMLSConsumerAccess.org is an equal opportunity lender located at 600 Lynn Haven Parkway, Suite 203, Virginia Beach, Virginia, 23452. Welcome to another episode of Lending Forward. I'm your host, Taylor Ellard, and joining me back on the mic again is Lee Brown. Welcome, Lee.
It's always good to see you, and thank you for having me back on. I'm honored.
It's good to see you again, and I kind of asked, but we can dive into it. How have you kind of kicked off 2023? How's it going?
Well, I mean, I'm state president this year, and so every day is covered up in meetings. So I just powering through.
Yes. Yes.
It's not going to be a normal year. It's never going to be a normal year. And that's great.
I know. I know. Hopefully it will be more normal than the last three, but we'll see.
I don't know. I mean, I was tired of that market. So I'm glad the market has normalized, but my agents haven't adjusted yet. And so there's that mama bear piece that kicks in where I want them to get adjusted very quickly. They're just not.
It's not easy. And some of them are so new that they're like, what is happening? What is going on? So how are you kind of coaching them through that as Mama Bear?
Well, I mean, it's a whole reshifting because until March of 2022, it was a straight seller's market. And then overnight it flipped to a buyer's market. So we didn't even have a transition period. It just flipped. And so they don't know how to effectively price homes because they haven't had to. Mm-hmm. And they don't know how to write an intelligent offer that makes sense for the market because buyers are coming at them. I want 20% off. We're not a 20% off market, but they don't know how to work with those conversations yet. And they're learning, but they're also having to deal with the interest rate shock. And so in addition to the change in the market dynamics, there's the interest rate shocks. And most of them have never seen an interest rate below 3%. That's where we've been since 2008. I think that's part of the conversation that nobody has is that that became the norm for an entire generation of agents and buyers and sellers. Right. So this adjustment to 6 is just heart stopping for them. Well, for us old people, like my first house was 11 3/4. I have perspective, so I'm fine. They don't have that same perspective, but I think by the time you get to May or June, people having no memory anymore will have forgotten about 3% interest rates. Mm-hmm. So they'll be able to have an intelligent conversation about 5, 5.5, 6, 6.5, 7, wherever we land. And I think we're not done with the movement and the rates yet. So they just got to be able to talk about it. And now they're also learning about new things on the financing side. They've never heard about a 2-1, which is hilarious because all of my old people were like, man, we've been doing that for years. And they don't know about all the different ways to work with financing. They don't know ARMs. They don't know why it does or doesn't make sense for people. They don't know how to explain assumables because, in fact, a lot of seasoned realtors have never done an assumable mortgage. I haven't done one in 21 years. I looked at my files. That's the last time I did one. So that's a whole new space for education, and they're open to that. The question becomes, how do you get the buyers to listen to it? Because there's also when you're trying to show opportunities to somebody, they put up a defensive wall and says, don't sell me, don't trick me, don't bring me any little sneaky things. And it's not sneaky stuff. These are real tools and real opportunities. But that's just, it's all education, and education, not everybody's open to it. And so and it just is what it is. It's where we are.
Yep. Yep. I know. And tell us a little bit about those listing agents. How are they educating the sellers? Because and what does that conversation look like? Because I think that is the missing piece. And we'll dive into lender agent relationships in a minute, but how are your listing agents kind of coaching the sellers into saying, look, if you can do this, and I don't know, I mean, every market's different, right? I'm in Virginia Beach, you're down in Charlotte, you know, that it all looks very different. But for Charlotte right now, what does that kind of look like? Talk us through that.
Well, a lot of sellers still have what we call aspirational pricing. They want the number they could have gotten 12 months ago. Well, 12 months ago is gone, so you can't get in the time machine. Now, you have to actually stage the house. They didn't have to stage for 3 years. And a lot of realtors know this. We walked into houses and you're like, are you for real? Could y'all not even clean the house? Well, now you have to clean the house and you have to neutralize where you need to neutralize, and you're going to have to do repairs. And so you should do those in advance of listing the house, and you have to go through showings now. So for 3 years, our sellers could just go to an Airbnb for 2 days, but now it's a showing today and maybe one tomorrow, then 2 days with nothing and then a showing. So they're back in that limbo zone of, we have to keep the house in perfect condition, but we don't know when somebody's coming. So all of those things add up. And I think that's the challenge for people, is that we're not just explaining what's happening on prices and on the market. We're explaining how the whole process is now back to its painful part, because the most painful part of selling a house has always been showings, right? Because you're letting random strangers into your house, and then they're going to use the bathroom, and then they're going to use your best towel if they wash their hands, and you hope they flush, and you hope they put the lid back down, and then they get their kid a snack out of your refrigerator. And what are you people doing? Because that's what it used to be like. But for the last 3 years, you had, okay, we have 10 minutes, people get in, cruise the house, let's get out. But now we're back to hour long showings. It's just such a wildly different market. So the sellers now have that emotional adjustment in addition to the financial adjustment. It's so hard, especially in today's world of internet and internet crazies and people who video camera everything where they go. And so a seller's got their life on display, like their privacy's on display, their family's on display. And I think that's a hard thing to process, in addition to the fact that, yes, you could have gotten 500 12 months ago. We might get 500 now, but it might be 490, and it could be 510, because we don't really know. The markets are so volatile. I can't make you any promises. And that's hard, because realtors at their core are people who love to please, and they really like to have some control in a completely uncontrollable profession with everything running all over the place. But they want to provide that security, and we just can't do that right now. So a smart realtor goes in the house and says, let's get it ready. Let's talk about what buyers are asking for now, because buyers are back to HGTV asks. They want it to be neutral with a pop of color and fully upgraded and no repairs and turnkey. And in fact, those houses, which I would call a 10, they still sell very quickly, because buyers love a perfectly prepped house. And that's the same thing that happened in the Great Recession. The perfect houses would always go ahead and sell, because you take away somebody's need to come in and spend time and money on it. And then on the other side of that, our agents now have to, when they run comps, you got to look at how old the comp is, because something that sold 4 months ago, that was a different market than last week. And then with the markets are volatile, you're having to adjust for time. And now we have to look at condition. And when you're looking at condition, what is a buyer willing to pay for right now? Well, we still see buyers that want that outdoor entertaining area. They still want a really nice patio or deck or an outdoor fireplace. They want a fenced yard for the dog that they got during COVID work at home. They want to make sure they have a home office. They want a mother-in-law suite. They want the kitchen to be upgraded, even if they never cook. I mean, we're back to the things that buyers have always wanted, but they just didn't have the ability to ask for it for the last 3 years. So for now, we walk into a house and they want to go on the market right away. It's, well, if you go on the market right away and don't do all the stuff, that's going to compress your price a little bit. But if you spend 3 weeks and do the nitpicky list and make it perfectly perfect, then you may shorten your actual market time. That's the wildest thing. They could go on the market and take 60 days to sell, or they could spend 3 weeks and get the house perfect and then sell it right away. It could actually go faster by not putting it on the market. It's the weirdest thing ever. But it's a hard conversation to have, because for a lot of people in today's world, they have turned off the news. I mean, you look at the number of people that are getting away from Facebook, like they've ditched their accounts and deleted them. They actually aren't listening to the national media. They're not paying attention to any of this. All they remember is their brother-in-law sold his house last year and 50 people wrote offers on it. And so that person could even be divorced from the economic realities right now. And that's something we can't overlook. So part of our job is, tell us what you think the market's doing, not to be coy, but to figure out, where do we need to start our educational process?
Right. Gosh, that's such a great question. I think that's one that's not asked nearly enough, because you go in and you're, like you said, you're the pleaser and you're like, you know, but really one question I heard someone ask the other day was, you need to ask your buyers, where do you think you are in the process? Because where I think and your real estate agent thinks you are is wildly different than from where the buyer actually thinks that they are in the process. Give me a 1 to 10 scale. You know, do you think you're a 2 because you're really not educated, and we're that's our job as the expert to help you. But I that pairs nicely with what you had just said. And I think it's true. I mean, even instilling the empowerment in our agents with education to be able to go say, hey, if you can pay a 2-1 buy down, if you can pay those seller concessions and get what your ask is, or reduce it by, you know, $35,000, no, you don't want to do that either. So going in and setting that bar so that when these offers do come in, because people will come, it just depends. If it's priced right, I mean, here in Virginia Beach, if it's like you said, updated and it's beautiful and it's priced not too high, but right where high enough to where it should get a lot of traction, they're gone in 2 days. But these other naysayers who are like, no, I can, you know, it's 2,500 square feet and it's got a ton of 90s wallpaper on it. I can probably get something really great for this. No, no, you can't, because you didn't spend those 3 weeks and take those wallpapers down and make it to where it's that HGTV dream. So that kind of leads me into the builder side, because a lot of people, as you know, are like, you know what? I don't want to pay such a high price for a 90s wallpaper home. I would like something new then. Fine. I can find a buyer a little bit outside of town that I'll get exactly what I want. Why do buyers still need agents for that? That's one thing we have not talked about. And I know my agents are so passionate about it. Tell buyers that don't know, because this is their first time home buying and they're like, you know what? I'm going to opt to build. Why do they need an agent?
Well, it's so interesting. When you're buying a house, you're not just buying a commodity item. And builders treat houses like commodity items, as in, here's a shelf full of them. Pick your house off the shelf and move in, and shazam, you're done. But they forget that houses are built by humans, which means they need somebody to walk through with them and look for oddball things. So to help recommend a home inspection, we recommend a home inspection on every new build that we do. And especially during the process, the best time to inspect a house is in that pre-drywall period, where you can find bowed studs and you can find a pipe that's not properly attached, so that later on when you turn the shower on, you don't get that rat on the wall that you can't go back and fix. Right. So it's such a great opportunity to get the house buttoned down correctly. And a builder will say, well, we have to go through code inspection. Yeah, you realize people that work for the building inspector department are failed builders. I mean, come on, they're just there to hit a baseline. And when you're building that house for the long haul, you really don't want baseline. You want it to be tightened up. So a good realtor is going to help you remember those steps in the process, but they're also going to counsel people on things like the lot selection. And I want to be involved with new construction before they ever go near a neighborhood, because a home agent the on-site agent is going to sell the one they need to sell next. Mm-hmm. And that could be the last lot in an almost completed street. But why was that the last lot left? Your realtor is going to help you look at it and say, well, it's where the house would sit in the building envelope. It is where the backyard falls. It is the angle of this. It is this. It is this. It's the driveways. It's the last elevation that's left, because the builders have rules. Your realtor is the one that's going to be your third set of eyes. Be like, I mean, so it cost you $10,000 more to get this lot over here, but this one has trees in the back, so that's a premium. And to help people understand the pros and cons of a corner lot, the pros and cons of a cul-de-sac lot, the pros and cons of an infill lot. I mean, an on-site agent just is there to represent the builder. They don't work for the buyer.
Right. Yep.
And the biggest thing that you have an advantage for as an agent, and I can't stress this enough, and this is going to sound a little bit self-serving, but I want you to think about the big picture. If you are buying a house by yourself from a builder, you are one sale to them forever. You're never probably going to build with them ever again. So what reason do they have to take care of you and nurture the relationship beyond their legal obligations? Now, builders that are listening and getting all huffy, I know that some of y'all do focus on relationships and do great jobs. I'm totally broad brushing right now. So you're by yourself as a buyer. You just don't matter. You are the commodity in that instance. However, when you walk in with me, and I've been selling houses in this community for 23 years, and every builder knows me, and every project manager knows me, and every code inspector knows me. They're like, oh, God, you brought me around. Because they know I'm going to say, what about this, and what about this, and what about this? And you know what? They're going to return my phone calls, because you might be a commodity to them one time. I represent repeat business. And I am the one that's going to bring more clients back in the future. So if they take care of my people, they have access to my future people. And I know that's hard for a buyer to understand that that benefits them, but I promise you it does. You ask anybody in a neighborhood who went without a realtor and then they had a problem. They had a crack here or a water heater that was cattywampus. The builders don't return calls after closing. They're supposed to, but they don't. If you have a busybody, busy realtor who is actively engaged, they're going to call me back to make you happy so that they can have my future people. Yeah. I can't stress that enough. And it absolutely matters, but it's at the core of what real estate is. It's a long-term relationship, but it's not just the buyer and their agent or the buyer and their lender. I mean, a great lender, by that same token, wants to make sure they have access to refinance business in the future. They can do the next purchase and the rental home and all the other pieces. So they take great care up front to make sure they're earning all the future business. Same thing with the builder. The builder knows that a solid lending partner taking care of a buyer is going to be somebody that takes care of future buyers too, not just a one-off relationship. In fact, the world would be better if we were more focused on long-term commitment, not just one-offs.
Agreed.
But that's a society solution too.
Well, and my biggest thing is it's not transaction based. It needs to be client for life based. And I don't just want your loan. I would like your cousins, your hairdressers, and your best friends. So I think what I'm hearing is how important education is. Just being educated on all sides of it, from a buyer to an agent, to the communication between a buyer and an agent, to an agent and a lender, and the communication and opportunities that have growth there, whether that's getting people in the door through a 2-1 buy down, or that's an ARM, or just educating them on what an ARM is. And some people look at it negatively, but if you really know what it is, you can get dangerous with it. So, well, speaking to education, it kind of segues me into my next question. And I kind of mentioned it. So agent lender relationships are so, so, so important. Let's bring the education piece into it. What types of actionable items, you know me, like any listener should walk away with like 2 or 3 actionable items from each podcast. That's my goal. But what would you say are some good actionable educational courses that agents and lenders could be hosting together right now?
I mean, first of all, creative financing. We've mentioned it a couple of times. There's got to be better education on that, but it's got to be understandable. We can't talk in financial terms to most real estate agents. You've got to talk in terms of how do I explain this to a buyer? So to give real language. The other thing we got to talk about more is down payment assistance. And I know that a lot of lenders don't like it. In fact, this is perfect timing that we're recording this, because yesterday was my annual vendor speed dating day where we invite all the lenders who all throughout the year have said, hey, can I pick your brain for 15 mm-hmm. minutes? No, because if I give all of you 15 minutes of my brain, I will never get a house sold ever. We let them all come on one day and pitch to my team and tell us, what do you bring to the table? And we explain to them how we operate. And what's fascinating to me is that there is a wide chasm in the lender community. There are some that come in and say, that's a house on wheels. Okay, you're dead to me if you talk down about mobile and manufactured homes, because that is the original affordable housing. I want a lender who's going to come in and say, if you have clients that ask you about trailer houses, let me tell you how to finance those. Here's the questions to ask. Give us a checklist. You have to know the age of it. You have to know the foundation type. You have to know the water and sewer. You have to know the zoning. So give us a checklist. My new agents love that information, because in a changing market, the piece of the market that will continue to soldier through is always the opening price points. the luxury stuff is still selling right now because our markets are fairly solid with employment. However, as things hiccup, the upper end hiccups first. Opening price points keep moving. So educate us on how do we find those opportunities. I had another one of the candidates in here that downplayed down payment assistance and said, it's too much work. It's too many strings. I really don't appreciate that comment because to me, down payment assistance is free money. And it's up to the buyer to decide if they want to go through those strings or not. And frankly, most of the strings have to do with education. I'll just say it right now. If you're buying in the opening price points and your credit score is iffy, you need that education because we want you to get in that house and stay in it for a long time. I don't want to see anybody go to foreclosure or short sale because of something that they could have solved with education. So put together some education programs on down payment assistance that do not condescend to people that want to take advantage of the programs that are out there. The last thing I would point out is that the big difference in the lenders that came in here, some knew who we were before they came in. Others had not even Googled my team and couldn't say why they wanted our business. If you're going to put together an educational piece, as a lender, you better know why you're passionate about helping people get the American dream in their wheelhouse. And if you're an agent, you better have a really good story as to who you serve and why you serve that portion of the community. It has to go beyond the transactions and the money. And that's the biggest reason our professions are looked down upon is because we don't often go past that. But the reason so many people are wildly successful at it is that's why they do this business. They do it for the joys of somebody else breaking down in tears because they finally got in their house. And when somebody's in tears because they got in their house, they don't care what the interest rate was. They don't care what the price was. They don't care about the inspection issues because they figure they got all that solved with their pros. They look at the emotion of that property, and that's what we have to focus on in 23 and beyond.
I love that. That was so well said. Well, tell us how you're lending forward for the spring buyers with low inventory right now, but what are you doing? How are we getting out ahead of that?
Well, there's just going to be continued low inventory, and we've just accepted that because in this remarkable space that we're in, a lot of our typical home sellers who are ready to downsize or upsize are saying, I've got 2 5/8 right now. And if I buy, it's at 6. So I think I'll stay put. All right, fine. Put together a way to help them stay put, but start focusing on the parts of the market that aren't staying put. The biggest thing that we're focused on right now is making sure that our first timers are considering beyond single family properties. We're making sure they're looking at duplexes, triplexes, and quads, because in an uncertain economic climate, the smartest thing you can do is live in one side of a duplex and rent the other side out, which means you actually are providing housing for another neighbor while you're helping cover your mortgage. So if things do get choppier, that's the person that's most likely to sustain it. And then 3 years from now, when their income has gone up and the markets have hit the next cycle of whatever it looks like, they can keep that duplex. And now they have started really building their future financial stability by using investment properties. So we're talking a lot about those opportunities. We're also making sure to talk to all of our past clients about investment strategies beyond their 401k and beyond their stocks and bonds, because there's so much volatility in the equities market. Why not look at real estate as one of those ways to diversify and provide housing for neighbors? And we look at this in a really altruistic way, in the sense, because in any community right now, there's a shortage of affordable rental options. And the people who provide affordable rentals are mom and pop local investors. It is not the hedge funds and the big guys. They build swanky apartments. The stuff that most people can afford is owned by some neighbor somewhere. So we want to make sure our clients know how they can be a part of the housing solution in our community.
I love that. Love it. Well, it's going to be an interesting ride for 2023, but we're going to make it the best, aren't we? We're going to do a good job.
It's always interesting. I mean, it's how we got in this business. Right. It's never the same every day.
Right. Yep, absolutely. Well, thank you for being on Lending Forward. We appreciate you. Thanks again for listening to the Lending Forward podcast powered by Atlantic Bay Mortgage Group. Don't forget to tune in next week and make sure you subscribe to our channel. Remember, we all play a part in Lending Forward. So go lend something forward today.